Well, good morning, fellow car users and owners and maybe some salespeople cheating, listening to Lenny Lawson talk on the radio about the car business. You know, it's probably not a bad idea to listen. If you've been in a business for a little while and you want to hear from somebody that's been in a business a really long time, like an old geezer like me, then it's not always a bad idea to listen in. You know, I never dreamed that I would be doing what I'm doing right this minute. I was, always a pretty outgoing feller. I was not the quietest guy in the room usually. I was pretty much out there, and you know, it's just my personality, I guess. You know, you get into a comfort zone in your life, like when I was in college before I actually got into the car business. Was going to college and, you know, pretty much in the groove of education and goofing off and playing, and, you know, I'd work in the summers and holidays and stuff like that at the dealership. But once I got out, I mean, I was thrust, even though I was familiar with the business, I was thrust into something I knew very little about. College educated, yes. Prepared for selling cars and servicing cars in Greenville, Tennessee, heck no. But I had some good teachers and I had a mission. I didn't. You know how lots of times they try to get you to write a mission statement when you're in business or when you have a business? You want to make sure that you understand what the vision is for the company and what your mission is. You know, how do you, can you put it into words? You know, I don't know many individuals that do that. I know Tony Robbins and a lot of motivational people say everybody should have a mission statement. You know, what are they all about? I've been through that process at Gateway. With at Lawson Chevrolet and all the other dealerships that I had or was involved in with partners or by myself, I thought it was important to have a kind of a guiding principle. And I don't know a lot of individuals that do that for their personal life, but I don't think it's a bad idea. You know, I don't think even setting New Year's resolutions and mapping out the changes that you would like to do. One thing for certain, if you don't plan for change, change probably isn't going to happen. Unless it's somebody else imposing their change on you. And I've never liked that. You know, I've fought some pretty serious battles over my business career by myself with my dad. You know, and I have, but I've always stayed true to my core beliefs. And, you know, and that's really what guides the discussions that I have with you guys on this radio show are, you know, the backbone of this is what I believe in. And I think that's important to have that as a young person. It's really hard to get people to take that seriously, though, you know, the process. I have tried it with salespeople, you know, getting a bunch of salespeople in a room and talking about, you know, what are their core values, what things do they really believe in. You know, the same things usually come up, you know, well, family, friends, you know, I want to be successful. But, you know, they really can't define it. They don't take it beyond that. They don't really think about, okay, what are the fundamental things that I'm doing now that are that's detracting from me getting where I want to be? You know, as far as, you know, it could be simple as the relationship with your wife or your kids. You know, if that's not going the way you want it to go, what are you doing about it? What's the plan? Same thing in business. You know, when I started in the car business, my dad said, okay, here's what you're going to be doing, because I didn't have a clue. You know, I came in, and he had enrolled the dealership in this thing called Service Supremacy, and it was a program from Chevrolet. It was expensive, but it was a way, it was basically a blueprint for how to improve your service parts and body shop operations. And we had some improving to do at the time. And he said, I want to become a Service Supremacy dealer. And so he had ordered all these manuals and all the supporting documents and stuff. And when I came to work that first day, on his conference table was a set of manuals. It looks, imagine a bunch of World Book encyclopedias. That's what it looked like. And each one had a different, basically a step-by-step process. And you had to achieve each one of those segments of Service Supremacy in order to be a certified dealer, and then you get a big plaque. Well, you know, he knew that the goal wasn't the plaque. The goal was to get his son involved in a project and have a mission, you know, have something that he could focus on that would really impact the business, you know, and I really appreciated that later on because I learned the business in the process. But I tell you what, I had a lot of pushback, from the older managers that were there. They'd been in business. They'd watched me grow up. You know, we moved here when I was 14, so they saw this kid coming in with big, bushy hair and, you know, driving a parts truck and stuff like that. I mean, I wasn't a dummy. I was a pretty sharp kid and friendly. Not as friendly as my brother. He was nicer than me, but smarter too. But anyway, we had good leadership in each department. But they weren't real keen on this, you know, 21-year-old coming in and changing their processes and stuff. So I had to win them over, and that was another learning experience. So, you know, you have to take what you can get from, like, you go into a new business or whatever, you're a new employee. You know, you can just kind of roll with the punches and do exactly as they have it laid out. But at some point, certain people are going to rise up and say, hey, you know, maybe we can do this better. And sometimes you're going to get some pushback on that, like I did. And if some people can't overcome that, others will find a way around it. You know, they'll either go over them, under them, around them, or just walk all over them. And you know, somebody ends up losing their job because they're standing in the way. You may have been through that same kind of a scenario. But, you know, I think it's important, whether they're listening to this radio show or working for a business that, you know, coming new into a business or into a car dealership. It's a complicated business. And I interviewed a guy today that was, he's probably in his late 40s, and he's wanting to change careers. And he said, you know, I've always thought about the car business. He's been very successful. He's in a successful job right now. He's tired of driving, you know, and he doesn't want to, he's not happy. It's not meeting his values and his mission in life. He wants to be closer to home. You know, he wants to be able to go home every night and be with his family. He wants to be able to watch his kids and when they play football and stuff like that. He wants to feel like he's accomplishing something, being a part of a team. Those are values, and, you know, you identify those, and then you can start to come up with a mission. Like, I'll just give you an example. Like at Gateway, I came up with this concept called Car Life, and it really involved around several different things, and I'll talk about those right after this break. Okay, so I'm back. So, you know, I think it's important, as I said, that people have a mission, that they understand, especially in their, well, at any stage of life, really. I mean, you think about it. You can be a grandparent and say, okay, what do I want to do from now on? You know, what do I want my life to be about from this point, from this day forward? So, you know, everybody can have a mission. You know, and it may be helping one of your kids solve a problem, you know, in their life or participating. Like my wife is one of my grandchildren has recently discovered he has a, you know, mild case of asthma, and he doesn't need to be in child care anymore. When my daughter works here at the dealership. So my wife has agreed to take care of Leo at home. You know, a lot of people don't have that option, but we do. And my wife decided to sacrifice her time. And it is, you know, it's not easy for people our age to take care of a 9-month-old, you know, and what that does to your day, because she has plenty to do. But she reoriented her mission and said, Lenny, this is what I need to be doing right now. So that's the kind of woman I've got. I'm lucky. But, you know, we came up with this mission called at Gateway called Car Life. We want Gateway, our dealership. This is just an example. I mean, this could apply to any business. We want Gateway to be to lead to a better car life for people who do business with us. And I wrote this little this not a slogan, but it's just a statement, basically. It says, some people love their cars, and some people could care less as long as it goes. Isn't that true? You know, some people, like I've got a 66 Mustang out there on the showroom floor. Some people will stop and say, oh, my gosh, that's the most beautiful car ever. Can I see the engine? Can I sit in it? You know, they're just really into it. And other people walk past it like it's not even there. They don't even notice it. So you've got, you know, we're dealing with people with different priorities. Not everybody's a car lover. Okay, let me continue. Both kinds of people want their life with their car to go smoothly, without problems and complications. And that's what we do at Gateway Ford Nissan. So there's nothing untrue about that, is there? People need their vehicles. And when they break down, they don't like going in a loaner car. You know, it can be a really nice loaner car and stuff, but that's not their car. And that's what I always tell my service advisors. I say, folks, it's nice if you can give somebody a loaner car to drive, but they want their car back. They don't want your loaner car. It is an interruption into their patterns in their life. And so, you know, it's our job to kind of smooth out those things. So eliminate problems, eliminate complications. So I will continue. We are the gateway to a better car life, from the lowest price on a new Ford or Nissan to superior service after the sale. Living with Gateway is just a whole lot easier on your car life, because no matter what your car means to you, your satisfaction means everything to us. Now, you know, if that's not true, if that's just a bunch of words and it doesn't guide how we behave in the business, then that's a waste of time. You know, if I sit back here in my office where I am right now and I just write out something like that and I say, well, that's a great mission. I think I'll just keep that, put that up on my wall. If I don't make that a part of my organization, then it's worthless, right? I mean, it has to be ingrained. It doesn't matter if I believe it. Everybody out there has to believe it. And everybody out there has to behave in a way that makes it true. I mean, they could actually believe it and still not execute their job, right? So customer comes in to get their car serviced. They're here for a routine oil change, and they forget them. You know, they end up sitting in there. The job gets done, gets pushed outside, failure of communication, and somebody ends up not getting notified that their oil change was done a half hour ago. Now, you know, you have to have processes in place in a car dealership or a fast food restaurant or whatever to make sure that things like that don't fall through the cracks. But the other side of that coin is when they do fall through the cracks, what do you do? There's too many businesses and too many people that won't apologize and they won't make it up. I went to a restaurant the other day and I ordered four things on my plate. Two of them sucked. I mean, they were just horrible. And I told the waitress that and she said, oh, I'm sorry. Do you want me to get you some more? I said, no, I don't want more. She said, okay, well, do you want more coffee then? You know, what she didn't understand was that what she needed to do was to find a way to make me feel better about it. And in turn, it makes me want to come back, right? So, but first you have to apologize, obviously, and then you have to figure out, okay, well, what can I do to make this better? I'd already eaten the rest of the food. I was done. I didn't want anything else. What does she expect me to do? You know, get a couple other side items and take them home with me? I'm not that kind of guy. I want to eat it right there. And what I don't want to eat, I'm going to leave behind. So, you know, she didn't handle it well. And I want to make sure that when my employees mess up, and occasionally they will, that, you know, that they will handle it properly, that they will apologize and they will make it right and they will fix the problem for the customer, because you want them to come back. You know, if it takes an hour and a half to do an oil change, then the next oil change at least ought to be free, or this one ought to be free. You know, you've got to exceed the customer's expectations. this is the kind of stuff that is all driven by mission. And if you have anybody on your team that doesn't understand what the mission is, then, you know, you're not going to deliver the level of service that you need in order to stay in business. You know, I've seen a lot of dealerships go out of business over the years. I almost did a couple times, just simply because of the economy and, you know, the brand that we were selling at the time, economic conditions that were horrible. and not enough capital in the business to be able to survive it. But we always found a way. And, you know, whether it was my dad's ingenuity or luck or me taking extraordinary steps to survive, but we knew that there were certain fundamental principles that we could not violate in order to survive. You know, we weren't going to start doing business in an unethical way or, you know, taking shortcuts in order to be able to do it. That's just not us. We'll get out of the business before we'll do something like that. So, you know, mission drives everything. And if there is no mission, then any plan will do. It's kind of like a roadmap. You know, if you don't know where you're going, then any road will do. And too often people get on the wrong road. I love it when I hire a salesperson. I've got one of our best salespeople right now is 21 years old. And before he came to work for us, he responded to an ad that I put on one of those jobs. Indeed, I think, is the job site. So he called first and sounded really good on the phone because he worked at a call center up in Gray and came down to the dealership and met with me and had long hair, not dressed real neat, shirt was untucked and stuff. But, man, he had a great voice and presentation, and he's a, you know, works on a farm and does farming now, and just I saw something there. I saw the enthusiasm. So when we brought him in and started training him, you know, we had to show him what successful people look like. Now I know you got to be careful with that. I mean, it's not there's no clear cut definition for that. You know, it doesn't matter in this day and time whether you have tattoos or long hair or whatever. But there are certain things that can make a person look more successful. Do you all believe that about dressing for success? That if you are addressing somebody with a, you know, t-shirt and blue jeans and you know, some tennis shoes on with no socks, as opposed to somebody with a suit and a tie, I personally believe that you treat them differently. And that, and maybe you shouldn't, but that's just human nature. You know, if somebody puts a tie on, now, if it's a clip-on, you know, with a shirt that doesn't fit and, you know, one side's untucked and you know, that looks like the suit was from the 70s, probably not going to have the same impression as a guy with a, you know, really nice suit or a lady with a really nice business attire. I got to be careful when I say pants or a dress. But business attire, I mean, they're going to get a little different response. Now, that's part of the formula. The other part of the formula is what comes out of their mouth, right, and what the facial expressions are. But so this guy, 21 years old, he's our number one salesperson now, and his customers love him. He's very presentable, you know, in terms of his appearance. He knows how to approach people. And all of that was just because he came to work here. And I take a lot of pride in that. You know, to be able to modify and adjust and make these little changes. And all of a sudden, he is seeing further down the road now, and his mission has changed in life. He wants these certain things to happen in his life. You know, we've worked to help him develop a plan. And so, gosh, if you don't do that for your employees and try to make them better, then I don't know what kind of impact is that going to have on your business. So I just feel that if somebody's going to leave me, and go on, and many have. I want them to leave to better themselves, and I've never fussed about that. You know, somebody just jumps the fence to go sell cars someplace else, do the same job. You know, I don't get that unless they, you know, have some kind of a personality conflict or something like that. But you know, if somebody is trying to prove themselves, they get a job in a better position. I didn't have an opportunity. I got no problem with that. I may not like it. You know, I wish they wouldn't leave, but I understand it because I don't have a position for them. But that's been a great joy of mine to be able to have people come back to me and say, hey, Lenny, you know, I learned more at your dealership than I did anywhere else. You taught us things that I've never gotten in another store. And I've heard that a lot. I'm not bragging, by the way. I'm just stating the only reason I'm that way is because that's the way my dad was. And that's the way my mom was. They were natural leaders. They taught me how to deal with other people and to be effective and to be humble and to be able to relate to other human beings on a level that I think a lot of people just don't get. So anyway, I will be right back here in just a minute with more My Car Guru. You know, if you've listened to this show for very long, you know what I do sometimes, and sometimes I just don't really talk about cars. This is really about the car business and about life business and about the importance of mission. I think it's important at this time of year to reflect on where we've been and where we're going. We're working on our plans for next year. It's a little bit later than I normally do, quite frankly. We normally start talking about that in November and laying out the philosophy of our business, what we're going to change, what opportunities are we going to try to take advantage of, what are we trying to improve. And so, you know, get everybody on board with the mission and then figure out how we're going to track it. Because if you don't monitor the numbers and monitor your performance and how you're doing towards the mission, then the mission fades into the background and becomes irrelevant. That's kind of like a New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose, and that's one of mine. I plan on losing 20 pounds by the end of March. And I'm pooching a little bit, and my blue jeans are a little bit tighter than I want them to be. And that really was never an issue when I was younger, but now that I'm 65 years old, I'm fighting it. So it's a lot easier just stay in that chair, you know, than to go take that walk or get on that bicycle or get on the exercise machine or something, isn't it? True confessions. But anyway, this is kind of what I do on this radio show, and it's been a great pleasure to be able to do it. If you need me for any reason, again, my cell phone number, 423-552-2020. We can help you with a car or whatever, any kind of a decision you're trying to make, buying, selling, trading. A lot of people are making year-end decisions for their businesses and making those year-end purchases. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of inventory out there to choose from. A lot of commercial vehicles that would normally be on the lot are just, you know, hard to get, but they're out there. And if we can help in any way, we'd love to. Again, 423-552-2020, or you can email me at Lenny, L-E-N-N-I-E, Lawson, L-A-W-S-O-N, 2020 at gmail.com. And guys and gals, I hope you have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.